Thanks for tuning in to AFN the Eagle. You're listening to Morning Joe with the CO. I have joining me, surprisingly, the CO. How you doing today,
sir? I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fantastic myself. We've also got another special guest who's going to be joining us. But we're going to be kicking things off by talking a little bit about something that hopefully everyone got a chance to stop by and check out, and that was Rota's Feria.
Yeah, Feria. Feria was awesome this year. Because it kicked off on a national holiday, they kind of changed the way they do the startup event. So they had the flag raising first. They had a little flash mob. It wasn't really little. It was a huge flash mob with kids who came out and were dancing Sevillanas down the avenue. It was really fun to see. And then they had the lighting ceremony that night. And it was just a great time. Just that first day. And then we had the chance to go back over the weekend and enjoy it with our kids and kind of wander around and see all the families just having a great time. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I unfortunately did not get a chance to attend.
Too bad.
I had made plans to, but then one of my pets decided to have an emergency, and so we spent the whole weekend at the vet. They're fine now, so
tough.
It was all good, but did miss Feria, unfortunately. However, there are other Ferias starting up around the area. We have a couple more coming up. I know there's one in, I believe, Sanlúcar, closer to at the end of this month, I think.
I think it is, and then the first week of June is in Puerto. So
yeah.
I will have the chance to go to Puerto for sure, and we'd love to go to Sanlúcar.
Yeah, that one's only about 10 minutes from my house, and I know MWR is offering a trip to the one in Sanlúcar because I think they're going to do some. They're going to have some of the bullfighting happening on that one.
Oh, that's cool. I wasn't aware of that. I'll have to look into it.
But speaking of things that have already passed, like our Rota Feria, we also had the Career Development Symposium stop by, and that was an awesome event that was super successful as well.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of great feedback from that. I know there was a lot of work that went into it, so for all the career counselors throughout the installation who helped put that together, that was fantastic. And it was a great venue for all of our sailors to have the chance to talk to their detailers, to understand a little bit more about the detailing process and career progression, and just the level of talent that we had here from two-star admirals to fleet master chiefs. There was a huge perspective. It was a great look into the perspective that PERS has in how they put it all together.
Yeah, and some of our guys were out there, and they made like a quick little video that I got a chance to see. A lot of the sailors from the ships and stuff, especially the undes ones, apparently they got a lot of information and were able to learn more. And a couple of them were able to like strike rates and whatnot.
There were 127 PACT sailors that were rated.
Exactly. Yeah. So
and the top five ratings were operations specialists, RSs, PSs, aviation machinist mates, and logistics specialists. So it was quite a few people who had the chance to figure out what their career path looks like now.
Alrighty. And yeah, and it looks like really our bottom line for the Career Development Symposium was really just helping people get the career they want.
Yeah, and to understand how they can kind of go out there and grab their career and turn it into what they want it to be. So I thought it was a great symposium. I had the chance to meet with a couple of the admirals and talk through their perspective on some of the big problems that exist in the Navy, from recruiting to how we determine how bonuses are put together, to the authorities that different people have at different levels, to the small things, to how we put individual sailors in position to succeed in their rates. It was a really good opportunity.
Yeah, and just an awesome opportunity for a lot of people to kind of get a goal in their mind and work towards their goals. And then while we're talking about some of our goals, what are some of your goals for personally or for the installation as we move into the late spring, early summertime?
Yeah, the installation's got a lot on her plate already. So I think our goal really is to make sure that we are postured to support the requirements of the warfighters. And that covers just such a broad spectrum from events that are happening in Africa that may impact us here, to the stuff that's still happening in the Eastern Med and where the ships that are deployed out of here are currently operating, from the Eastern Med up to the High North, to the ships that flow through here and airplanes that come in and drop off supplies and pick up people. We just want to be in a position to support all those while still preparing for the arrival of Oscar Austin in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
So the team is focused on ensuring the level of support we have to the installation remains as strong, as good as it is right now.
Yep.
Which not a whole lot of fun to talk about. There's just so much cool stuff that's happening. It's hard to encapsulate all that, from all the stuff we have going on in the port. We just had Six Fleets flagship here for a little bit, so seeing Mount Whitney parked pierside was really cool. To helping ships like USS Cole, which is going to be stopping by here in a little bit, to welcoming back some of our ships that have been out there for months supporting all the operations. It's a lot of cool stuff on the horizon for us here on the installation.
And then, of course, as we move into summer, we do have one of our teams from the installation, our Public Works, here with us today. Yeah. Before we get into that, though, did you want to take a quick music break?
Yeah, let's take a quick music break, and then we'll kick off introducing Kenny Soul.
All righty. Up next, I've got Lauren Hill heading your way with Doo-Wop here on AF and the Eagle. That was Justin Timberlake and Chris Stapleton with Say Something. Before that, we were listening to Doo-Wop from Lauren Hill. Thank you for joining us here on AFN The Eagle for Morning Joe with the CO. Now, we do have a bit of a theme going on today. Maybe you've noticed so far. A lot of our songs have been coming from, I'll let the CO tell you.
So far, it'd be tough to pick the theme because we picked one. Yeah. It's coming from Apple's new top 100 albums, The List, which personally I think is atrocious. But I'm going to do my best to honor it by picking songs from at least the top four or five albums, if we can get through them before the show's over. It's an interesting list, though. I urge everybody to go take a look at it and let Apple know just how wrong they are for various
personally
reasons.
Personally offended.
I really am. I'm sorry. When Kind of Blue is, I think, number 35, I know that your list is way off.
Alrighty.
Sorry. I'm going to put my life at risk, especially with Taylor Swift on the Iberian Peninsula right now, and state that there is no possible way 1989 is better than Kind of Blue. And I think that anybody who understands music will acknowledge that.
Alrighty.
And on that note, let's go do something worthwhile before we start getting the phone calls.
Before the Taylor Swift.
I can feel the ice comments going already.
But we do have a special guest joining us today that we mentioned briefly earlier. We have Commander Kenneth Sowell, our Public Works Officer. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, MC2. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So welcome to the show. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how Public Works works with our CO and other people here on base?
No, absolutely. So a little bit about me, originally from Missouri, southern Missouri, down in the Ozarks. I'm a civil engineer corps officer and a CB. I've been in the Navy a little over 20 years. I deployed to ROTA twice as a CB battalion operations officer, but this is the first time being stationed here in ROTA. My wife Chrissy and I are loving it. We arrived here last July from Guam. Ooh. And just couldn't be happier. We do have a 19-year-old son who's a freshman at University of Nebraska, and he just arrived yesterday to visit us for the summer.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I got to say, there's more to your story than just the Navy uniform that you're wearing, right? You saw the light a while ago and came over to the right service.
Yes, sir. So I wasn't born here. I got here as soon as I could. So I did. I spent 10 years in the Air Force in the 90s. So I'm getting a little old.
Yeah, I will say, though, every time we have the chance to work, the breadth of experience that you have, the perspective that you bring, it's absolutely phenomenal. But I think we'll get a little bit more into how we work together here. But it took me a while, having never worked on an installation before coming here, to really understand what Public Works does. But can you kind of lay out for the folks who are listening, how does Public Works support them?
No, absolutely, sir. So, I mean, it's a little bit more than keeping the lights on and keeping the water flowing and the toilets flushing, but really full life cycle facilities management for the base and managing all of the infrastructure cradle to grave. So we work closely with all of the supported commands and departments across the base to identify requirements and adjust the facility plan to support. So we are a team of over 330 people there in Public Works, predominantly local nationals, which bring a breadth of experience. Many of our Spanish employees have been with us over 40 years and really just the best at their jobs that they get over that time. We also have about 30 U.S. civil servants and 43 active duty military, including CBs, and currently have five officers on the team. So, you know, a little bit unique here because, you know, I'm a department head. I work for the base CO, Captain Suarez, but it is a NAVFAC organization with all of NAVFAC authorities for engineering and acquisition that we carry out here.
And for those who love C2 lines and the way things can get blurred, we're actually changing that up here in the next couple of years as we realign authorities so that naval facilities or for the public works team itself will work for the installation. So what do you enjoy most about the chance to live and work here in Rota?
For me, it's really about the people. So our combined organization and the way we work together, we're truly blended throughout our organization. So the people is what it's all about. Usually I start my day with, reviewing some of the emergency calls that we may have had the night before or the weekend before, reviewing some of the high-risk events that we have going on, whether it's crane lifts down at the port or elevated work on some of the facilities around base. And then, you know, really get into the status of how things are moving through our system to ultimately deliver to you and the installation. But through that, interacting with all our different divisions and the various people that are doing the work and coming in every morning, getting their tools and their equipment and going out and doing the work is really what it's all about.
I'm always a little bit in awe with just how much public works reaches into every facet of life here. So for folks who ride any of the shuttles, that stuff that's set up by public works, for anybody who drives on the roads, part of the maintenance is done by public works. For anybody who goes into any building on the installation, you know, that is all supported by public works and Kenny and his team. So it's amazing what you guys are able to accomplish kind of day in and day out. And I think that most people don't understand just how much of what they rely on comes from your organization and the support that they provide. So for everybody who's listening, thank you for all the work that you and your team do every day to make sure that we're up and running pretty much every morning through every night.
Yeah, like you just said, sir, if you work in a building here on base, you can thank Public Works that the building works.
What are some of the biggest challenges that you've seen so far?
You know, I think the biggest challenge right now is just we're still in a resource-constrained environment. The base has grown significantly over the last 10 years. The Public Works Department is essentially the same size. Some of our budgets and what we have to work with are essentially the same. So finding ways to be innovative and be efficient and effective to continue to delivering all the things that we have to do around the base is always a challenge. And things, you know, all the things, especially off base, are continuing to become more expensive. So really proud of the team to be able to prioritize and really carry out your priorities to continue to support the mission despite the constrained resources.
So I will say one thing about the constrained resources. Your team, for those who know what it means to sweep up funds, that means that as an organization, we have money that we haven't spent getting towards the end of the fiscal year. You guys are amazing at having plans on the shelf so that we can sweep up funds from other installations who aren't really ready to spend that money and spend it here to improve the quality of life and quality of service for the folks who are here.
Yes, sir. We've been very successful in that. I think it's often shocking for folks to realize just how much work has to go on in the front end in the planning and development of projects to get them ready to either award to a contract or to execute in-house. So the engineering studies, the environmental assessments, just the initial planning and development to get to that point is a lot of work. And our team here in Rota does a fantastic job. They understand the effort that has to go in up front, and they work towards that to have those projects ready to go. So when we do get an opportunity to either get additional funds from DC or headquarters, or perhaps, you know, if another installation is not in a similar position to be able to execute, we can execute on their behalf and put that money directly into the installation. We've been very successful at that and very proud of the team to do that.
Awesome. Speaking of, you guys have actually been going, this week has been kind of a special week for you guys over there at Public Works. It's been National Public Works Week, and we are going to talk about that. But first, we're going to take another quick music break. We've got some Michael Jackson heading your way next here on AF and the Eagle. That was Billie Jean from Michael Jackson. It is 7:32 on this Thursday morning, and you're joining us for Morning Joe with the CO. I'm here with Art Skipper and also our Public Works Officer. And up next, we're going to be talking a little bit about Public Works Week, which has been going on this week.
So Public Works Week, this week, this year, the theme is Advancing Quality of Life for All. And I think it's really apropos because quality of life is a focus of the CNO, of Commander Navy Installations Command, of my boss in the region, and it's something we're paying a lot of attention to. But what does it mean from your perspective to be able to support and advance the quality of life initiatives that we have here?
Yes, sir. So I think quality of life, you know, for us is just on a day-to-day basis is really about providing those essential services to the base to make it active, accessible, and a sustainable place to live for the sailors and their families. So, you know, while the Navy's primary mission is projected forward, ships and planes and otherwise, you know, the installation is the shore platform where they sustain, they train, repair, regenerate. So we provide quality of life by providing, you know, the water treatment, the wastewater management, electrical emergency response, solid waste, hazardous waste, the grounds maintenance, the transportation services, as you mentioned earlier, and some of these invisible things to the public that make Rota a great place to live and work.
So I know a lot of people who live and here on the installation see the age of some of the buildings that we have here. A lot of stuff is built in the 50s. And how much of a challenge is it to be able to support some of those older buildings that were built to different standards back then as we try and support more modern quality of life initiatives?
It's a challenge. The average age of the facilities on this base are over 46 years old. So it takes an increased emphasis on preventative maintenance. It takes an increased emphasis on assessing those facilities so that we can identify where the highest risk is and really prioritizing the work to make the facilities the best they can be for our population.
I will say it's a little bit humbling to me to understand that we consider this old infrastructure on this base because it's 46 years old, and I'm older than that. It's really, puts me in my place.
Makes me feel much younger.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it does. Everybody looks at us old guys.
My knees disagree,
here.
But I feel a little better now.
I'm in my prime.
Is there just a quick question I had, sir? Is there any like difference between working on buildings here that may have been like originally constructed by the Spanish versus like buildings that the Americans have built since arriving here? Other than I guess the plugs, maybe.
You know, I don't think so. I mean, there's always differences. There's different building codes and different systems. But, you know, it all does the same purpose. And the methods by which we maintain is essentially the same. So I don't think that is a significant factor in our ability to maintain the base.
Okay.
The differences between something originally built by the Spanish and something originally built by us.
I only asked because I was actually trying to hang a couple of paintings in my house. I live off base, but it seems like my drywall is about three times as thick as I'm used to back
concrete.
In the U.S.
We had to order some specific things to be able to hang stuff
up
like in our walls.
The wall anchors with it. I'm glad I'm not the only one with that struggle.
But your question bridges another good one, or broaches another good one. How much do you work with the Spanish side, with the folks who maintain their facilities or do their engineering planning here on the base?
Well, we do a great deal, I think. I think it's primarily a coordination effort. The Spanish essentially maintain their facilities, and we maintain ours, and we keep each other updated. I have a quarterly meeting with my counterpart on the Spanish, Commander Cole. But day to day, we don't work together on maintaining each other's facilities.
Okay, and I know down by Pier 1, there is a relatively new taxi stand. And from what I understand, that's something that the Armada requested that we build for that. Is that something that Public Works or the CBs put together and laid out for them?
I'm not familiar with that one,
okay.
Sir.
Yeah, I think that might have been Joe's burden to bear on that one. Okay. But it is something that every now and then the Spanish have asked for us to help them with some of their projects that they're either not positioned for or don't quite have the funding to be able to pull off right now.
Yeah.
And last year, I think at the end of the year, we were able to lay some pavement down there where there used to be just rocks. So there's a new taxi stand down by the head of Pier 1 so that...
The vehicle taxi stand.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I do remember that now, and we did get that done. So that was an easy one. That was a small one. So as part of our quarterly meetings, when we review all of our ongoing projects, if we have input from them and we're able to incorporate their requirements into those, we do that. You know, we try to be contributing members of society here and work together on all those things. So.
Yep. And then while we're talking about that, that's actually something we're going to be talking about here after our next music break is some of Public Works' upcoming initiatives and projects. First, though, we've got Here Comes the Sun heading your way from the Beatles.
Sorry, didn't mean to...
That was Here Comes the Sun from the Beatles. You're listening to Morning Joe with the CO. I'm here with our skipper and public works officer. And up next, we're talking about just some of the upcoming stuff we have from Public Works and some of the stuff they're going to be working on.
Oh, thank you. I will jump right in. So I think some of the most visible things that are going on around base are large military construction projects. We have more than half a dozen tower cranes on the horizon as you drive around. Currently, over 20 construction projects going, totaling over $160 million. And I think we've got over $70 million currently in design coming down the road. So we recently completed a number of good ones, including the Navy Lodge last summer, the Integrated Navigation Seamanship and Ship Handling Trainer, the age facility, and then some of the big ones that we're going to be delivering and currently starting now is the new hangar for HSM-79. It's off and running. The combined port operations facility is coming out of the ground pretty well now. We just recently awarded a $75 million contract for the new air passenger terminal, and we also have over $60 million supporting CTF-68 Expeditionary Forces at Camp Mitchell. In addition, we also have the large boss contract that supports many operations around the base. So a lot of work happening on the construction side.
So what is a boss contract for everybody listening?
Boss contract is a base operating support contract. So it's really a lot of the key functions. They do grounds maintenance. They do solid waste management. Some of the janitorial is with them, and a number of other smaller things. So base operating support is a function that's done at all installations and all campuses as well.
Okay. I had a really pithy question that I totally forgot as we started diving into boss contracts. But when you have these huge projects, like let's take the new the new hangar for HSM-79. What are some of those big steps that we have to go through? Who's really digging into those as we break ground on that, as we start to see the construction all the way through? How much of your team is involved in a project like that?
Our primary team, would be with our engineering and acquisition division. They really run that project in execution. And the team consists of a contracting officer who has the contracting authority to work with the contractor and direct the contractor in the execution. But we also sign a construction manager, which will be a professional engineer, and to work between the contractor and the end user, which in this case is HSM-79, to make sure that the contractor is delivering on the specifications and requirements of that contract. And then we'll also have an engineering technician assigned to the contract to make sure that it's being done safely and meeting the technical specifications that's required of the contract. So we've got a minimum three people, and then there's another a number of other team members that support it as well, including environmental and safety and other engineering staff along the way, because every construction project, it seems, is a one-off custom design.
It seems like it.
So it requires a lot of input along the way, and there's always changes to make sure that it's ultimately delivered what will support the squadron.
So personally, how many of those roles have you fulfilled over the course of your career?
I have fulfilled every one of them, I think. So I've been a construction manager. I've been a division director in charge of construction, and I've been, and now as a public works officer. So I've been fortunate to fill every role along the way to preparing me for this.
I think that's part of what makes me feel so lucky as an installation CO is I've got some folks, I mean you in particular, who have such an incredible depth of experience and knowledge in your part of what makes this installation run, because I show up here with absolutely zero knowledge of what it means to run an installation, all of the work that goes into the basics of supporting all the people here. So I'm grateful for what you bring and what your team brings to the way that this base runs. It's, humbling.
Thank you, sir. I'm your standard run-of-the-mill civil engineer Court 05.
With 10 years of Air Force experience, I hear that's a dime a dozen.
But our career path within the Civil Engineer Corps does do a good job of preparing us, and our developmental tours really set us up to be, have leadership roles such as this.
Okay, so there's some folks on your team right now who are going through some of those steps as they look for the opportunity to take your job away from you in the future.
Absolutely, sir.
That's good. That's good to hear.
All righty. Well, wanted to thank you for joining us today, sir. Was there anything else you wanted to mention about public works in general, or any experiences you wanted to share?
Not really. I would just want to say that there's a lot of planning and development that our team continues to work towards. The installation mission integration process is a process that is important, where we get the inputs from all the supported commands around the base, and we use those inputs to really advocate up the chain of command to get us new projects and execute those to make sure that we're able to do our mission in the future. And there's also some things that we're doing to modernize and get better. There's a program that we use to track and manage all of our facility management. It's called Maximo. And as part of our modernization effort is to get that program on handheld devices, so when our technicians go out to the facilities and do preventative maintenance, they can work straight off of an iPad or a phone and make those necessary notes real time, and quickly order the replacement materials, so that'll make us more efficient. And we're also working on some facility control systems to be able to remotely manage our electrical and HVAC and security systems of the facilities. There's some challenges that go along with that, particularly with cybersecurity, but we're making a lot of advancements in that. And then also electric vehicles. If you drive around base, you'll see a lot of charging stations being built. Those are required in advance of getting the vehicles. We currently have 13 electrical vehicles on base. And that number is going to grow over the next few years as we transition a lot of these on-base vehicles to electric. But other than that, the team is very focused on supporting the mission of the base and its operational forces, and will continue to be.
Awesome. All righty. Well, we're going to take another quick music break. We're not quite done yet. We've got a few more things to talk about when we come back, like our Memorial Day stuff coming up. It's more than just a nice long weekend for everyone. We do have a couple of events that are going to be put on for that, so make sure you stick around to get all the information on that. We're going to take another break right now, though, and we're going to listen to some Prince, bringing you When Doves Cry.
I love spaghetti.
That was Prince, and you're listening to AFN The Eagle. I'm your host, Petty Officer Spurley, and we've got Morning Joe with the CO. We're just about done. It's currently 7:55. We do have a couple of things going on. Today, though, it's going to be the first of our Memorial Day observations.
Yeah, we kick it off at 9 o'clock this morning over at the Chapel's Vietnam Memorial, where we will hold a short memorial service, and then we will proceed to the track over by the fitness center, where we will kick off the 24 hours of having the flag flown around the track. And there's a bunch of people who are taking part in that to make sure that the flag stays flying for the next 24 hours in memory of the service members who died while wearing the uniform. And then this weekend, it's somewhat coincidental that Spain is celebrating its Armed Forces Day this weekend.
Oh,
so
yeah.
On Saturday, the base is going to open up to the civilians, to a lot of civilians who will have access to the base to be able to see some displays that we have, to see some Spanish ships and stuff on the flight line. So it's neat that those kind of tie in together. And then it kind of kicks off the 101 days of summer. So yesterday, Installation had their safety stand down, and I think a lot of the commands are going to start kicking off their safety stand downs to help all of the sailors, Marines, airmen who are here, and the soldiers who are here to help give them some tools to be able to enjoy the summer down here, because it's amazing here in southern Spain. Hope people who live and work here understand we're getting paid to live in a vacation spot.
Yeah.
Half of northern Europe comes down here to enjoy southern Spain, right? And the Navy asks us to come live and work here for years on end. It's an amazing privilege, but it gets hot, it gets crowded. We'd like to do a whole bunch of stuff out there, so some tools to be able to enjoy it safely. So I think those are some of the cool things we got coming up this weekend. But to kind of tie it back to the conversation we had today with Kenny Sowell, who, by the way, I would be remiss if I did not say Captain Select. Kenny Soul.
Oh, congratulations.
The list just
sir.
Came out this week. So congratulations, Kenny.
Thank you, sir.
This base is lousy with 06s now. I don't know if we're gonna have to make more parking spots or something. But that's your job, right? Make those parking spots for us. But really to think Public Works for all of the work they do in ensuring that we have the fundamental structure to provide the quality of life that all of our sailors, families, all of our service members, their families deserve while they live here, and everybody who works here deserves as a space to be able to execute their mission. So we started off by saying quality of life is something that the CNO cares deeply about, and Public Works is a fundamental piece of what ensures that we have that quality of life here on the installation. And they've got big projects for future efforts, and they've got the day-to-day efforts that ensure that we have it here. So for those who live and work here on the base, if you have the chance to thank anybody who is part of that Public Works effort, please do, because we would not be able to execute this mission without the support of you and your team, the oversight that you provide, the work that you do every day to ensure that we have it. So thank you. And thanks for joining us today on the show here and listening to, I think, the top four albums. We got through the top four albums. We're going to get number six. And then helping us understand what you guys do over there in Public Works. So appreciate the effort and appreciate the conversation this morning.
Yes, awesome. Thanks, yeah, sir. Thank you again for stopping by. And thank you, sir, for joining us for
Always
Morning Joe with the CO. It's great to have you. I also want to thank our PAO over there. She's a pretty integral part of this every week. She usually just hides out, though. And she just recently put on Lieutenant as well.
She did, yeah.
Congratulations
Lieutenant
to her.
Dios.
But again, just wanted to thank our listeners as well. Thanks for joining us. We are going to get back to music now with Stevie Wonder bringing you Isn't She Lovely here on AFN The Eagle, where we're serving America's best.